Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's take the Word of God tonight. We will go to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Now, on Sunday mornings, we have been dealing with John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of our Savior. And, of course, I preached the fourth message on that this morning. Next Sunday, you pray for me because, obviously, I'm going to be preaching on the resurrection as we have Resurrection Sunday next Sunday morning. But tonight I want to continue our series in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk the prophet of God at a time when God's people are under judgment. As Habakkuk is speaking, he knows that the Babylonians are coming. There's nothing he can do about it. He knows God's judgment is going to fall. Last week, as we talked about this great verse, we come to Habakkuk chapter 2, and I want us to remember verse number 4. We'll pick up there tonight and read down to verse number 8. The Bible says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." And we spoke last Sunday night that this is really the key verse of the book of Habakkuk. It is all about the just living by faith. And remember last Sunday night, I spoke to you that what is the opposite of faith? We might say that it's disbelief. It's unbelief. But here, I believe that we find that the opposite of faith is pride. Because the Bible says, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Let's read on, verse number 5. "Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his, how long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay, shall they not rise up suddenly, that shall bite thee, and awake, that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, and the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city, and of all that dwell therein." Now we call the book of Habakkuk a minor, in the sense it's one of the minor prophets. But in Habakkuk there is a major message. It may be a small book, but it has great power and great impact. The message is that God's people are to live by faith. And by the way, can I tell you this tonight? You will never get away from living by faith. Do you know what I don't want to do in my flesh? I don't want to live by faith. None of us want to live by faith. We want to live by sight. I want to see it and then I believe it. But God wants us, and really, God requires us as his people to live by faith. In fact, the Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. You know, there's times I think all of us, we want to get to a certain level in life when we don't have to live by faith. I mean, really, that's in our human heart. Lord, I just want to get to this place. And I spoke recently to my deacons and I was talking about what I believe God's put in my heart with our Christian school. And I told them, I said, you know, it'd be easier not to do this, but I believe the Lord wants us to take a step of faith. I believe it requires faith. God blesses faith. He honors faith. But can I tell you what he dishonors? What is dishonoring to our God is when we will not live by faith. In fact, brethren, God's people are to live by faith, and that means that they know that the Lord will provide for them as they trust in him. And as we trust in God, God's going to take care of us. Brethren, let me ask you a question. Will God take care of you when things are not going the way that you had planned for them to go and are not turning out the way
that you'd planned for them to turn out. Can you be honest tonight? How many has had things where you had plans and you had ideals and they didn't turn out that way? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Welcome to the human race, all right? And welcome to the Christian life. Because there has been so much in my life, I'm thinking, Lord, that wasn't my plan. Lord, I had all this, but wait a minute. The Bible tells us that His ways are higher than our ways. Let me tell you, they are greater than our ways. Because God sees the beginning from the end. God knows the future. None of us know that. God knows what is best for us. Well, Habakkuk is exactly that situation for the prophet. We find that Habakkuk the prophet found himself in a place where things were not going the way he wanted them to go. Things were not turning out. He knows that the nation of Judah is in an age where from the people all the way down, from the king all the way down, the people disregard God's word. We talked about this where you remember where the king took the penknife. And the word of God came. It was a word of judgment saying, if you do not turn to the Lord, God is going to bring judgment. And you remember what the king did? He cut it with the penknife and threw it in the fire. And guess what? Judgment has come. God warned His people. But we find that there are five woes that we will see in Habakkuk chapter number 2. Five woes. Now the word woe has to do with calamity and destruction. It is a warning. God is saying, woe. I want you to notice these woes and we'll see these. Look in verse number 6. It says, shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? God is saying here, there is a woe. Now, who's he speaking of? He's speaking of the Babylonians. By the way, God is going to use these evil people to, in a sense, judge his own people. But they're not getting away with anything. Because the Babylonians have spoiled and they have plundered nation after nation. They have taken that which did not belong to them. And God said, mark it down, their day is coming. And folks, can I just remind you of something? You know, we often look at the wicked and we think, the wicked are winning. Brother, no, judgment is coming. We are going to reap what we sow. And that is for every one of us here. By the way, we always reap more than we sow, and we reap in a different season than we have sown. Judgment is coming. The reaping day is coming. Now, there's a positive side to the sowing, that if we sow to the Spirit, guess what? There is reaping coming with that as well. And you know, I have always found this to be amazing. In our efforts to sow win and invite people to church and tell others about Jesus Christ, there's been times I get pretty discouraged. You ever get discouraged doing that? Sure we do. Because sometimes you go and you invite people and it just doesn't seem like anything happens. And then all of a sudden someone shows up at church. You didn't invite them. Can I tell you what that is? You're reaping what God saw in obedience. Brethren, God blesses obedience. And He blesses a church that will faithfully obey Him and be living lives of faith. We find the first woe there. Look in verse number 9. Look what it says. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Notice there's a judgment, there is a warning for covetousness. Look in verse number 12. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establish a city by iniquity. We go to verse number 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Folks, understand this, that for people that sell alcohol, there is judgment coming upon them. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. But that's exactly what verse number 15 tells us. God says someone that gives alcohol to another person, they will reap that. There is a curse that comes with that. We look in verse number 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. Now look in verse number 20, because it kind of summarizes chapter number 2. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Brethren, can I encourage you with something? I think sometimes we may think, well, preacher, why doesn't judgment come upon them? Pastor, it seems like they get away with their sin. Brethren, no one is getting away with anything. Can I tell you something? Vengeance is God's. It belongs to Him. And He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Meaning, don't touch vengeance. That is God's. He will take care of that. And these judgments that here Habakkuk is preaching and saying, God's judgments will come. In fact, brethren, our confidence tonight must not be in people and it must not be in things. Our confidence must be in God. The one who sits in His temple. The one who is in His holy temple, He sees, He observes everything. And let us live lives of faith. And by the way, faith is not a leap in the dark. That's not what faith is. Faith is taking God at His word and trusting the Lord. And it's taking God, it's believing God. That's what faith is. Faith is saying, Lord, I believe You, this is what You've given me to do. And by faith, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to believe in You. Brethren, there is certain judgment and calamity that was coming upon the nation of Babylon because of their plundering, because of their stealing and taking what did not belong to them, because of their covetousness, because of their pride and the haughtiness in their own heart. We think of the famous Nebuchadnezzar. I think you may know the story. He reigned on the throne of Babylon as king for 63 years. Let me tell you something about Nebuchadnezzar. He was a proud man. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar, he had gained his fame and his prosperity in an evil, deceitful way. But if you know anything about Nebuchadnezzar, you know that that day that he said, look what all that I have done. And on that very same day, God put Nebuchadnezzar in the woods and he crawled around like an animal until finally he humbled himself and looked unto God. Brethren, I want to tell you this, the mightiest of nations will fall if they do not seek God. We talk about great Rome. Well, guess what happened to Rome? Rome fell. And by the way, America is no different. America was founded on biblical principles and founded on trust in God. And I pray, and by the way, we need revival in our country. There's no doubt about it. But may America keep their eyes on the Christ. May America be humble before God. But let's talk about ourselves tonight. May we as God's people live lives of humility and understanding that our God wants us to live by faith. Now I want to give you three simple things tonight that we can look at. In the book of Habakkuk, God compares the darkness of the Babylonians and their lifestyle to the light of the Lord and those who are willing to trust Him. I love that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in God. There's no deceit whatsoever. And when we think that we can serve God and live a little in darkness and deceit and hypocrisy, it doesn't work that way. The Bible says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The Babylonians, that's a great picture of the darkness, but yet God brought them to judgment. In fact, in darkness, they thought that they could build up their kingdom by stealing and taking everything they wanted. But you know what God said? God said to them, I'm sorry, that's not yours. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight. When God says, that's not yours. In fact, brethren, do you know that there are things in the Christian life? There are things about faith. There are things about understanding the ways of God that you're never going to really understand. That's why the Christian life is faith. Listen, I've been a pastor now for 14 years, a youth pastor for 12 years, and all these years in the ministry, and I don't have the answers for things. I think the longer that I live, the more I recognize I don't understand. That is where God wants us to live by faith. to where we rest in the Lord, to where there are things like we want to figure out, but we cannot figure them out. That's where we need to cast them at the feet of our Savior, casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's where we must trust the Lord. And it's not our plan. It's not our purpose. It doesn't seem to make sense, but we're looking to the Lord. By the way, I'll tell you a good sign when we're not trusting God is when we become angry. It's when we become frustrated. People are not doing things like we think they should be doing them. And that is a sure sign of pride. It is a sure sign of a lack of trust and dependence upon God. We need to come to the place where we say, Lord, I commit it all into Thy care because He will do what is right. Brother, we can trust Him to do what is right. Even when others don't follow along with what they think, what we think they should be doing. Brethren, there's some things that are just not ours. And that's what God is saying. I want you to notice, number one, the lust. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, Habakkuk chapter 2, God mentions the lust of these people. Remember that the Word of God says that the problem is pride. You see, pride does the same thing for everyone. It tells us that we do not need God. It tells us that we are self-sufficient. It tells us that we can direct our own lives and we have wisdom and we have experience and we have knowledge. But a humble man says, you know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm depending on the Lord. I'm resting in the Lord. By the way, brethren, all of us have an enemy inside of us tonight. You know, it's this idea of lust. Do you know that the Bible talks about the lust of the flesh? Every Christian here tonight, you have the lust of the flesh. You know what that flesh wants? It wants what is not yours. It wants that which does not belong to you. There's the lust of the flesh. And you know, let's think about this. Brethren, you and I, we may be attractive on the outside and appear to have everything in order, but on the inside, we have an evil beast, that old nature, and that old nature lust after that which is not ours. The lust. We need to be honest before ourselves and honest before God. The heart lusts for what God does not want us to have. Have you ever wanted something that God didn't want you to have? You know what that is? That's the lust of the flesh. Sometimes it's not necessarily something evil or something that we may think that's a terrible thing, but it's lusting maybe in a sense for a life that we think we deserve. A comfortable place that we think, hey, this is what I deserve. But Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 5, look what it says here once again. I want you to see this. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desires hell, and is as death. And look at this phrase, and cannot be satisfied. I'm going to tell you something about the lust of the flesh. It will never be satisfied. It'll never be satisfied. You can't satisfy it. You know, by the way, can I tell you something about selfishness? Do you know that selfish people will never be satisfied? They're too self-centered. You know, the term today is the narcissism. People may say, well, they're a narcissist. Well, can I tell you, they're just a selfish person and they've lived selfishly for many years. Maybe they are a narcissist in a sense. But people that are selfish are nothing but fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. They worship self. It's all about self. I've had people say, you know, and I'm not saying this about anybody in our church, all right? Often when I use illustrations, people think, well, who's he talking about in church, you know? And it's not about you, all right? But I've seen marriages before, they work because they both love and worship the same person, the husband or the wife, you know? It kind of has to work that way. You know, the story of the man who said, man, if my wife loved me as much as I love myself, we'd have a great marriage, you know? Well, no, that can't work because of the flesh. It lusts, and the Bible says it cannot be satisfied. Why do you think drugs and alcohol, they are never satisfied? Because it's the lust of the flesh. Why do you think pornography, it will never be satisfied? Why do you think this idea of wanting more and getting more to satisfy, it will never be satisfied? We see the lust. Number two, we notice the lure. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go to James chapter number 4. James chapter 4. Now, James 4 talks about not just the lust, but the lure. Now, how many in here, you like to go fishing? Would you raise your hand? All right. Okay, very good. All right. Where's Hank at? Hank, did you raise your hand? All right. He raised both hands and his feet and everything. All right. Hank's a fisherman, you know. And now I'll be honest. I used to enjoy fishing when my kids were smaller because, you know, as a dad, you know how it goes. All I did was put bait on, take fish off, and that's all I did. How many dads know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that was the ideal of fishing. And I enjoyed that being with my kids, but I'm too impatient for fishing now, you know. I'm like, look, I got 30 minutes, get on this hook, we got to go, all right, you know. And that, you know, that doesn't work, all right. You have to have patience. But the ideal of fishing is you have to use a lure. You may use all kinds of different lures, but there's a lure that's involved with catching the fish. Well, brethren, do you not know that Satan understands that we have the lust of the flesh? But Satan uses a lure. He uses a lure. James chapter 4 and verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? You have wars and fightings in your home between husband and wife, even between church members. Where do they come from? Look what it says. Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Brethren, there is a lure. We have an enemy on the inside that refuses to yield to God. So the devil hangs things out there for us and simply says, come and get it. Do you know what this world, listen, the world is good at the lure. They're good at it. They have, you know, you see the commercials for the beer commercials. They're the best commercials out there. The highest quality of commercials. Everything is wonderful in that commercial because it's nothing but a lure. That's all it is. In fact, can I simply tell you this? The devil sells a bill of goods, but he lies about every advertisement. He does not show you the real price tag. By the way, you know, I don't know that I've been to a restaurant like this, but I've heard restaurants where they don't show you the price tag. You know, they don't show you how much a meal costs. That makes me nervous, you know. I'm thinking, okay, what is this? You know, how much does this cost? That's exactly how the devil does. The devil says, come and get it. The devil says, look at this. This is going to be great. Let's not talk about the price. Let's not talk about the consequences of sin. Let's not talk about the reaping. Don't worry about that. But here God is saying, that's not yours. The lust, the lure. And here we find these Babylonians. Why did they take on other nations and steal things from other people? Why did they heap up things that God never intended for them to have? Because there was a lust in their heart and there was a lure. And they took it. Brethren, the devil often says to us, come on, this is where it's all at. Come on, you'll never really feel good until you get this. The devil is good with his lure. There's a lure by the devil, a promise that he makes. But brethren, can I tell you something? God, he cannot keep the promise that he makes. You will never be satisfied. But brethren, can I tell you? God says, you want it, but you cannot get it. You know what God tells to us about the lust of the flesh? Your flesh wants it, but you will never be satisfied. In fact, you cannot attain it. Your heart may long for it, but it will never be satisfied. Why could Babylon not be satisfied? They were one of the greatest nations on the face of the earth during their time, but they were not satisfied. They were not satisfied with their wealth. They were not satisfied with what they had. Can I tell you why they were not satisfied? And this is the point. Because they did not live by faith and trust God. Brethren, do you know what the faith life does? The faith life, in a sense, says, Lord, I will never be satisfied apart from Jesus Christ. That's the faith life. In a sense, the lust of the heart without God says, I want more and more because nothing seems to satisfy. And that's exactly what the lust of the flesh, you go deeper and deeper and there is nothing there. And yet with Jesus Christ, it's that well, that everlasting well. You remember what the Word of God tells us that Jesus told that woman. That woman that had been married multiple times and she was living with the man. She came to the well and can I tell you, her life was never satisfied. And Jesus offered her water that she would never thirst again. Brethren, that's found in Jesus Christ. You see, the lust of the flesh, there's a thirst for more and more, but it's not yours. We find the lust, the lure, number three, and the last thing is the loss. Now, God declared to Habakkuk that there was coming a time when the Babylonians were going to reap what they had sown. By the way, I don't know your life, but the devil lies to us. And maybe you think you're getting by with things. Mom and dad will never find out, or your wife or husband will never find out. But let us never forget the omnipresent God who sees and knows all things. He sees. In fact, going back to Habakkuk, notice what it said back Habakkuk chapter number 2. Let's go back there and I want to show you this in closing. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Let's notice this. It says in verse number 20, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Brethren, in Jesus Christ, we have everything we need. In Christ who sits in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. He sees what is going on. He sees the evil of man. They're not getting away with it. There is coming a reaping day. You know what I want to focus on? I want to focus on sowing to the Spirit. I want to focus on doing that which is right in the sight of God. I preached this morning that Jesus finished His work. Brethren, can I tell you, as Paul said, he came to the end of his life and he says, I want to finish my course. I want to finish it. I've done lots of funerals for people in our church, and you know, I always wonder when I come to a funeral, Lord, I know one day that's going to be me. And will it be that I have finished my course? Have I run my race? Paul said, I've run my race. The race that God wanted me to run. I can't run someone else's race, but I'm going to run the race God has for me. And He says, I have finished my course. Brethren, today, the lust of the flesh, it will cause you to never finish what God has called you to do. Understand, we have that lust of the flesh. There's a lure. It's always going to be there. But there's a loss. Brethren, you follow after the flesh and you live according to what is not yours, there will be great loss. But if you follow Jesus Christ, there is great gain. In closing, I want you to go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8 in closing. I want to show you a precious secret in the Bible. It's an open secret, but I want you to see it. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. Now we love verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But look in verse number 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us, what's the next two words? All things. Brethren, you have everything you need in Jesus Christ. If God did not spare His only begotten Son, will He not give you everything that you need? Everything that God wants you to have. Brethren, we can trust Him tonight. The just shall live by faith. My faith is not in what my heart can pursue, because it will never be satisfied. But my faith is in the One who spared not His own Son. Tonight, when God says, that's not yours. Maybe tonight there's things in your own life that you're trying to attain and God says, that's not yours. Maybe you're trying to order your life and you're not happy with how your life is going, that's not yours. Trust God. Faith Him. Allow Him to guide and direct you. May God help us tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. And Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love to us. Now, Lord, tonight we've looked into Thy Word. Lord, may we live by faith and not by sight. May we not live for what we can obtain. May we not live according to the lusts of the flesh, but may we live according to the Spirit. Father, deal with us tonight. And Lord, as we make preparation for the Lord's table, may we take this time to seek Thy face. May we come before this sacred moment being right with You, as thoroughly right as humanly possible. Lord, deal with us now, this very moment. Search our hearts. You see our sin. You know everything about us. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? The piano is going to begin to play in just a moment. And I want to ask you, in preparation for the Lord's table, the Bible tells us to let a man examine himself. Brethren, let us do business with the Lord. In fact, if we come to the Lord's table and we have unconfessed sin in our life that we are not willing to deal with, God says there's a great danger there. In fact, many of the children of Israel, for them, it cost them sickness and even death. Tonight, let's be honest before God and let Him have His way. And I want to meet with the Lord in a special way. Father, bless this invitation now. Lord, we ask You to speak to us. Lead us, prepare our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen.